Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from NAM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about the essence of minimalism and its impact on the home with Melissa Lee, who is the founder and principal at Bespoke Only, an interior design firm. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm Melissa. And
yeah, can you please introduce yourself a bit so we get to know you a bit better?
Sure. My name is Melissa Lee, and I'm the founder and principal of Bespoke Only. We are an interior design firm based in Brooklyn, New York. So we do both commercial as well as residential interior design. Mostly at this moment, we quite focus on residential.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's great because what we're doing today is we're going to be talking about the home. So really looking forward to learning more. But before we do that, we're going to do a section we call Have You Met Melissa, where we get to know you through some of your favorite things. And the first thing that I'd like to know is, what is your favorite book?
It's going to be very cliche. It's Harry Potter. And I do love Harry Potter so much and have always been a fan. And I stayed in one of those lines waiting for the book coming out.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I was certainly a fan as a kid and still now, but I never got to stand in line.
It's quite an experience.
Mm-hmm. Did you dress up as well?
No, not that far. But anxiously waiting in line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so exciting. Do you have a favorite Harry Potter book? Or just the whole series is the best?
Not the whole series, but I think I really do like the first one, though. I know that's not most people's favorite, but I thought the first one was so charming, and that's what, you know, got me into it. Super hooked.
Yeah, I think it's, I read it recently, and it was like I was reading a memory.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even, like, read it. I just felt like I had been transported directly back into my childhood.
I know, and the tree, and, you know, all these, like, crazy little, like, stories and the candies, all that.
I know. I always wanted to eat all of the candy and all of the feasts that they had.
Including the Booker one? The Booker flavor one?
Oh, well, no, not that one. That one always scared me.
Wow.
And what about a movie? Have you enjoyed any recently?
Yes. So I just watched Past Lives by Celine Song recently, and I really, really do love it. It was so special. And I felt, you know, as an immigrant myself, and I felt like there was a lot about the movie that I could relate.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen trailers for it, and I'm really looking forward to going to watch that. So I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice watch. You should definitely give it a shot.
Great. Thank you. I'll be doing that soon, hopefully. Great. So what is your definition of home organization?
I think home organization, it can be anything, right? It doesn't really have to be cabinets. It doesn't have to be like specific boxes. It's just about how you find logic in, you know, how you store your own things, your own belongings. So it can be whatever. It can be open shelving, it can be closed, and it can be down to like filing everything. I think it's personal.
Mm-hmm. So it's different for everyone. There's no sort of one correct way.
Yeah, very much.
And so I think that does sort of move us on to our topic today, which is minimalism. And I've got a few questions about that. But I guess the first thing that I'd like to know to set up the show is, what is minimalism?
To me, I think it means the essentials. So it's just really to hone in to find out what's most essential to you.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that, I don't know, the impression that I got with minimalism, you know, just from like watching TV shows, is that, you know, minimalism is the best, you know, it's, you keep everything clean, you don't need anything extra. And it's the only way to have a really nice, clean, livable home. Is that correct, do you think?
For us, we often call like our space warm, but warm minimalism. So we have been using this phrase a lot and to our clients when we approach the space. I think minimal in terms of like, you don't have a lot of clutter, but it doesn't have to be having nothing. Mm-hmm. I think back to essentials, it's what is most essential to you. And so I think the level of minimal is different, again, to each person.
Because I think, yeah, I mean, what I've seen on TV is, you know, houses where there's, you know, a coffee table and a sofa and then there's nothing else. And it doesn't seem livable to me. But I think the way that you're describing it, minimal as in just what you need. So like if I need a basket for my knitting, that's required. So it fits within the minimalism.
Exactly. So okay. I mean, it definitely doesn't have to be you see nothing. I think it's about, you know, what fits in that space. Now, obviously, then not every home has the luxury to fit, you know, everything behind the scene in closed space. So I think it comes down to like how you can declutter. Almost, I would say, decode and get rid of the non-essentials.
Yeah. So I don't know about anyone else, but I feel like everything in my home is essential. I have a lot of books. I have a lot of plants. I have, and then my partner's got all this exercise equipment. My place feels quite cluttered, but I feel like everything in there is essential. Do you think that still fits within that minimalism mindset, or possibly we're just over attached to all of our things?
No, I don't think so. You know, like I was saying, it's personal, it's subjective, and each person has your own level of minimalism. So I think as long as you give it a regular check-in, you know, look at your stuff like every 6 months. So like, do I still need it? Like, is this still important to me? And have I not used it in the past 6 months? Mm-hmm. I think something to check in with yourself.
Okay, so it's more of a mindset than like an actual style is what you're kind of saying.
I think so.
Yeah, okay. So I had a bit of a snoop on your website and it said that you studied psychology. And I was wondering whether you use psychology in your interior design, and also, you know, does minimalism affect, you know, our mental health and our well-being in any way?
Yes, exactly. I think that is really the core and foundation of how I approach design, given my background and everything. And I think it starts from curiosity of other people's lives and the different lifestyle and the stories and narratives of, you know, how other people live. So I think that's always our first step when we approach design. Mm-hmm. The psychology plays such a big part in it because you want to know how this person feels in this space and how the space then interacts with the dwellers. And from there, what is the right amount of minimalism and what is the essential for this particular individual, and, you know, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking to a client for the first time, and, you know, they say, I want to redesign my home to make it cleaner, more efficient, what are you looking for, and how do you decide what's right for them?
I think I usually do an audit. That's what we call an audit. I take a look at their stuff, and I take a look at the space, and I ask them these questions that we were talking about, like, you know, how do you start your day, and tell me your footprint, and how do you move around in the house throughout the day, and what about the weekends, like, who do you use the space with? And then from knowing this person's life, we then can go back. So it's kind of like backward designing it. And once we know how the space is being used, we back engineer it. Like, what really is your essential? So people sometimes start with a list, and then we can help them to narrow it down. You know, like we were saying, like, have you used it in the past 6 months? We all have aspirational ideas of how we want to live. So I think that is the difference here. I think being realistic is the first step of, you know, living that minimalist life.
Can you give any examples, you know, of a situation when, you know, it's, I guess, someone's particular, I guess, habits and lifestyle has really influenced how you've designed their home?
I think we always tell our clients, we design for how you actually live. We don't design for how you aspire to live. Mm-hmm. And while you want your space to evolve and grow with you, there is a difference between reality and just pure aspiration. Right. So we help them, let's say, do you all, let's say dinnerware, right? Like, how many sets of dinnerware do you all? And what is your everyday dinnerware? And what is your, you know, special occasion dinnerware? And how often do you use it? And I'm not saying to get rid of it. So maybe you need to, like, through this audit, you tell yourself, like, oh, so I haven't used my special occasion china for 5 years. So was there no special occasion in the past 5 years? Or you hold this idea of aspirational living so dearly, then you forget to actually use it. So when go back to the essential, it's like, you know, you can have both special occasion china, you can have everyday china, then how do we incorporate both? And if you come to a point and realize you actually only have space to hold one, and in your life right now, there's no special occasion for that really fancy china because you have so many children and they are clumsy at this moment, maybe this is a time that we pack that away for now. Mm-hmm. And get back when your children, you know, have grown out of their, you know, baby utensils.
And I guess possibly once they're a bit older, you could even switch and get rid of the dinner set that you don't like quite as much and maybe just use the fancy dinnerware every day.
Exactly. So I think this is like how to approach it through psychology, right? Like, we think about how you use it and how these things, what these things mean to you.
Mm-hmm. But I also imagine in this scenario that, you know, maybe you have two dinner sets and one was passed down from your grandparents, but you know that you can't use this dinner set for the next 10 years because you're going to be having children. I mean, you said to pack it away into storage, but I mean, you know, if you don't have space for storage, you might have to, you know, give it away. But then there's that sentimental issue where you're like, I don't want to give away, you know, my grandparents' china. So, like, how can you, I guess, overcome that type of challenge?
Maybe, you know, lend it to a family member who is at the stage of their life they can use it daily now.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe put it in the back of your pantry without the front, stuff like this. Like, I think being realistic to how you are living is important to design.
And are there any other, like, challenges, obstacles people often come across when they're trying to, you know, reduce the things in their homes?
You know, we all have those pair of jeans in our closet that just don't fit, and we think next year is going to fit. You know, that is a very easy example that everybody can relate, but stuff like that, right? That is equivalent to that pair of jeans.
Mm-hmm. And so in that case, do you just need to really think about it and just say, I'm never going to wear those pair of jeans. I'm just going to chuck them.
or find a storage and bring it back to, you know, parents' home. I'm sure that if this piece is important to you, you will find a place for it, but it's not necessarily in your current living room, in your closet at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Continue.
I was just saying that the decluttering is really to find priorities.
And how do you define the priorities?
That's what we do, this audit exercise with clients. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to give yourself, you know, a very honest hole in, right? Like to really look at it closely and honestly, like, what was that?
But that does seem like it'll take a bit of time to do. You know, if you go to every object and you say, do I need this? Do I not need this? I don't know about anyone else, but I need to do that in my home. And I've got a whole bunch of things in my garage and I know I don't need them. And I've put them down there because they don't fit in my home. And I'm like, okay, next weekend, it's going to be a lovely weekend. I'm going to take everything out. I'm going to go through everything. I'm going to put them on Facebook Marketplace. I'm going to give them to my friends. And then every week, the weekend rolls around. And I'm like, I'm too busy. It's raining today. Oh, I'd rather do something else instead. So is it just a matter of just saying, I'm going to do this right now? Or are there any tricks to doing that, to actually making the time?
I think you have to be committed. Put it on the calendar. Like today, I put it on the calendar. I'll do this podcast and block out that time. Or you know, minimalism isn't for everyone. Some people have the luxury in their home and in their life that they can pull so much extra. And not all of us get to be that. But if you are one of the lucky ones, embrace it. Be a maximalist. If that's who you are, that's really about being honest.
Mm-hmm. So part of being minimalist versus maximalist versus, I guess, somewhere in between, part of that is about, you know, who you are and what you like, but also part of it is about your home. So how does the home influence what styles you choose?
I think the home needs to have a very easy flow. And a lot of this minimalism work we help clients do is to make sure that flow functions and functions well and caters toward your day-to-day. And that's where we say the aspirational living doesn't necessarily serve you day-to-day. So the flow sometimes really can benefit from less clutter, depending. Mm-hmm.
And how does the flow and how does minimalism benefit us and our home and our home organization?
So if this room is properly situated, right, you have your favorite mug and it's in the place you know where it is, right? And you have organized your home in a way that it's really easy for you to find the very item you need at that moment. And I think that's just makes your everyday so much easier and removes a lot of thinking. If I don't have to dig through a really packed drawer to find this one pair of socks, well, saves me 1 minute, but that 1 minute is not 1 minute. It's 1 minute and a lot of stress, a lot less stress.
Mm-hmm. And it's 1 minute every day.
And you will walk out of your room and feel a little less scattered.
Mm-hmm. But I imagine it takes a bit of time and effort to do this and to keep it like this every day. You know, it's one thing to get rid of most of your socks so you don't have an overflowing sock drawer. But it's another thing to actually, you know, fold your socks and put them back into the drawer and remember to do that rather than what I do, which is throw them in the corner.
We all do. We definitely all do. I think it's hard. It's not the easiest. And I think it's not the most, it's not the quickest, for sure. Right. I think in the long run, it will save you time and save you that little extra minute hassle. Mm-hmm. And I also tell people from a sustainability perspective, which is another cornerstone of our practice. We live in a world of overpopulation of everything. And there's so many things that are being overly manufactured and consumerism is so heavy in our culture and we're so deeply rooted in that. That's also why we are, our life is bombarded by so many different gadgets and, you know, a million pair of socks, but do we really need them? I think closet is a very good example. We all have so many, you know, things in our closet that look at the past 1 month, you probably only wore, you know, 10 items in the closet. So I think it's also to see it that way. How can we be more conscious with our surrounding, spending, and things we are not necessarily using? How can we give it back to, you know, donation or, you know, like I was saying, to another family member who is in the right place to use it, things like this. And I think all these little thoughts and steps help us live more harmoniously and more consciously.
Interesting. I'm just going to have to think about that for a sec. Yeah, I love that you bring it back to sustainability because I do think that one of the reasons why we do have so much stuff is, as you said, you know, this consumerism mindset where we have to buy everything. I know that in my house, I'm constantly picking up plastic packaging because we're just buying things all the time and then you've got to find a place to put those things that you've bought. So, yeah, just being mindful about what you're bringing in as opposed to trying to get rid of things or I guess balancing those two.
Yes, for sure. Balancing the two. It definitely takes both, I think. Yeah. Also online shopping, especially now with our phone, how easy, right? Like your credit card is probably auto-filled when you're making an online purchase. It's just so easy. So I think that's another thing that we're being, you know, so trained to do mindless shopping sometimes.
I removed my credit card information from my phone so I couldn't buy things easily. From one of my other guests, you recommended that if you have to go across the room to get your credit card to enter it in, you're less likely to buy things.
1,000%. I can totally see that. Maybe that's what I should do. Because I have to say, I admit that I think sometimes before I go to bed, that's my little shopping time. I think, well, really, he does. I probably do. And then while you're thinking, you're like, I'm going to go to bed. I don't want to think about it. Let's just click yes.
Yeah.
So if I had to go with a credit card, it wouldn't be so easy.
Yes, particularly when you're like all warm, tucked in bed, and then you're like, oh, I have to get out into the cold and get my card.
Right.
Now, sorry.
Great tip.
Thank you. This is my tip of the month, I think. I think I've said it in a few other podcasts because it's such a useful, easy tip.
Right. Remove credit card information on phone. Okay.
Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about in the questions or just in general?
About minimalism or just it?
Or about design in minimalism, anything that you would like to talk about?
Yeah, I think like minimalism sometimes can feel a little forced because, like you were saying, not all of us, you know, enjoy that. But I think that's also because when we think about this concept, sometimes we're too used to thinking it as it means nothing. It means getting rid of things. And sometimes that thought is a little scary. Like, so what if I need it later? You know, stuff like that. So I mean, don't make it so cut and dry. Minimalism can be catered in different levels based on individual needs. So think about your essential. I think let's just think about essentials. Essentials, but not necessarily minimal. Mm-hmm. It's formal to you and your life.
I like that. Because my partner was, we're moving soon. So I was like, we need to get rid of some of the books. And he's like, well, you don't need all these books. And I'm like, no, I need them. But get rid of some of your books. I know you're not going to read them again.
We all need books. We don't ever get rid of books.
I do like sharing my books and giving them out to like secondhand stores or to the little libraries so we can share them around.
Do you guys have, little book box thing on your block?
Mm-hmm.
Workbooks in and people can trade it.
Yes. So we do have one. It's actually right next to our house, which is both a good thing and a bad thing because it's very easy to take books down to there, but it's also very easy to take books from there.
Right. But see, it's sustainability because we're trading, not buying.
Exactly. And I mean, that's what they tell you, but, you know, I try to put, for every book that I take, I try to put a book back in. So I'm keeping it even, but also I try to put an extra book in there sometimes.
And sometimes it travels back to you.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I also saw that on your website, you talk about negative space. And I was very curious about that because negative space does seem to be a bit of a scary thing to me. Like it's just this empty space where there's nothing there. So can you tell me a bit more about it and why it's important?
Because if you have filled your space, where is that room to grow, right? Like you most likely will still want to get some little souvenirs, right? Mementos when you're traveling and just so... Going back to closet, if my closet is totally full, how do I buy new things? So it's like that. So home, we see it as a larger version of that, essentially. And life is ever evolving and as you and your experience. So I think reserving a little negative space is also feeling like, to me, that feels not scary, but more like comforting. So when I go out, when I'm, you know, traveling this month, I'll be like, oh, I think there's still some room there for this. I don't have to feel there's immediate need to go back and kill something.
I actually love that because at first I thought negative space was, I don't know, such a big ideal that we should have. But the way that you've explained it is it's very comforting because it is, you know, room to grow, room to have if you want something else, if you need something else, if you realize that you need an exercise bike, you don't have to worry about where to put it because you have a space still.
Yes.
Even if it's not as pretty as everything else.
Right. And I really do think it's comforting. It's like, I can do it. I can afford having it and it's okay. There's space. And it's also, I think that helps. Having that negative space in your home also tells that you are a person that is ever evolving. You're acknowledging it and you're respecting your true life, you know, going back to being honest, and your life with your other family members potentially and, you know, and the possibilities. I think negative space feels like possibilities.
I love that. That's so great. Thank you. So we're going to move to the practice habit section. I'd like to know what is a practice that you do to manage your home organization?
purge. I just did it. I just did it this past weekend. So I purged. I purged my wardrobe. And that's because I did have to kill something in order to fit new things. I did a little bit of summer shopping. So I had to get rid of some old clothes. And it's, you know, what I would say, like every 6 months, I think every 6 months is about right. Because I know I did it about 6 months ago. And I thought I got rid of most of the things that couldn't fit anymore. Size as well as, you know, the style and also just, you know, the look. Mm-hmm. So, but 6 months later, and I really surprised myself. I was able to come up with like three giant bags. Like, how do I have this much stuff to get rid of? And then I think it's just like 6 months ago, I probably was more generous with myself. I was like, maybe I can still hold on to it. But the fact I know 6 months ago, I thought of that. And 6 months later, I look at it again, I still didn't use it at all in the 6 months period of time. That's kind of like a reality check right there. Like, so then this is the third time this is happening. It's probably not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I also sort of go through that where I'm like, I haven't worn this shirt for ages, but that's because it's summer and this is a winter shirt. So I'll just wait till winter and then I'll wear it. And then I get to the end of winter and I still haven't worn the shirt. And then I guess at that point I can say, well, I should probably get rid of this shirt because I haven't worn it.
Right. Yeah, like, okay. If this constant check-in always arrive at the same answer, then you gotta face it. It's not gonna happen. I probably will lose my 15 pounds to put this back on anytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But I imagine it's not easy. Are there any challenges to this practice?
I have to say, I'm not the most sentimental person when it comes to probably because in this business, we do see a lot of stuff and there's constantly a lot of exposure to things. And I think that kind of makes me a little bit more immune maybe to compared to a normal person. So I'm not particularly sentimental. I never found it really hard, but I do know that, for instance, my husband, I know he wants to hold on to his yearbooks, you know. Okay, we can keep yearbooks, that's fine. But there's like postcards and things like that, and they're all in boxes. So I have tried in the past when we lived in smaller space to ask him to remove these sentimental items, not to throw them out, but out of our, you know, maybe not this closet, not the closet that would put stuff that we use the most. Maybe we can find the storage for it.
Mm-hmm.
That means baby steps.
Baby steps, yeah. And I guess after a while of not seeing the cards or the sentimental items, maybe some you lose some of the sentimentality.
I think so, because when was the last time we went to our storage space, right? Probably go once a year, and then once a year you probably don't go all the way back there. Mascara's piece, faster.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, I try to, what I try to do with my cards, because, you know, I don't know what we do with cards. We give people cards and then I don't know what to do with them afterwards. I try to get rid of the old ones from last year and then I keep the new ones. And then after a year, I get rid of the old ones and I get the new ones. Except that then I forget to do it and then they just kind of build up.
I have been trying to keep people's holiday cards. That I have been trying.
I find they're also great, like the Christmas ones, they're also great for decoration as well.
Right. When you're running out of ornaments.
Yeah. Make it look like I've got more friends.
Yes. Or when you forget your friend's third kid's name, you can go back to it.
True. That's a great idea.
Yes. Which awful happens.
Yeah, yeah. I just use Facebook now. Just I just find all their pictures of their kids.
They keep track of all the names.
Mm-hmm. So how has purging impacted, you know, your perception of your home or your life?
I think it makes me more mindful when I buy stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just scary to know that there's so much, not to call them junk, but there's so much that I can retire, which made me realize this is how much I own. As just one person living on this planet, do I really need this much?
Mm-hmm.
But then that kind of puts a pause next time before I hit that buy. Yes.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's definitely a good thing. And I think it definitely makes sense that, you know, you throw something out the next day, you're like, oh, I just threw something out. Do I need to buy something to replace it?
Right.
Okay. And so we'll just take a break for a sec. So we've got a bit of time. Do you want to do the questions from the audience and the open mic?
Sure.
Or have we missed anything that you did want to discuss? Just to double check.
Yeah, then you can't meet. We feel you, you know.
No, I think it's good. It's going well so far. But I'd like to check with you because, you know, you're the expert. You have all the knowledge in your brain.
I'm not so much of a minimalist myself, I would say.
Okay. Okay.
Other people's home, that one of the reason I moved to my current home was because I ran out of space, and I also realized that I'm not that much of a minimalist. I kind of need.
Oh man, but I love that because I think that it. Do you mind us sharing that story?
Totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that really shows that, you know, minimalism is good, but I think also we change and grow as people. And how do you define your own style? Would you say you're a minimalist?
If I'm being 100% honest, no, I'm not, personally. So I do think that there are things that while I said I'm not very sentimental, I do, you know, have a lot of exposure to things. I do always want new things. And especially, I'm a thrifter, so I really love antiquing, and I can't resist. So I think the best I can do is the essentials, right? So I cannot put the stuff I don't necessarily need more out of the way. And I think I can still keep my day-to-day life fairly streamlined, and rather than letting my collection overwhelm me in my day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. And I love that, you know, that you're here talking about minimalism, but you're okay to say that you're not strictly a minimalist. You do like to keep to the essentials. I think that it's, you know, I think that everyone, we look at those magazines, we see the perfect coffee table with one mug and a book, and we think, oh, I'd love to live like that. But I think that it is unrealistic. And I love that you, an interior designer, you're okay with saying that you're also not like that, and that you also like to buy things. And yeah, so thank you for sharing that.
So I guess one thing I would like to talk about is while I'm definitely not a minimalist, I do need what I see to be fairly minimal to me, so I don't get overwhelmed. Because, you know, just given the nature of my work and the amount of information about stuff that is constantly being given to me, I need to maintain a fairly streamlined visual around me. So that being said, we do employ millwork a lot. So we like to do minimal millwork, minimal style of millwork to hide stuff. So while I have a lot of stuff behind the door, that I can close the door and, you know, get it out of the side.
Do you mind, what is millwork?
Millwork, basically closets, storage. Ah,
okay, okay.
Do it in a way, I would say we mostly design a lot of our millwork closets in a way that is very invisible and seamless and minimal. But you open a little door behind it, it's maximal.
Yep. But I think that sort of, it's quite realistic, because I think that we do want to live in these, you know, uncluttered spaces where we're not distracted. I guess, you know, if I've spent, you know, 2 days looking for the perfect lamp or the best painting and then it's surrounded by lots of clutter, you know, I'm not going to notice the painting. But if, you know, all of the things that I need for my life are behind a very minimal, you know, closet, millwork, as you said, then it sort of helps us to focus on the beauty of the painting without, you know, necessarily getting rid of all the things that I need for my life that may be a bit messier.
Exactly. So what I was saying, that we tend to design these storage in a more minimal way, it's also with that in mind, right? Like how to have your storage blend into the background. So then that creates, let's call it almost illusion of minimal. So it looks like a wall. We do a lot of invisible closets. So it's basically integrating your storage into your room diameter. So now it becomes part of the room and it's entirely out of sight. And so you can live this idea of, quite streamlined and clean and well functioned and efficient kind of ideal, that all the stuff that's close to your heart are still there. They're just behind that invisible door.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think that's a really great, a great tip for people, you know, invest in some really great storage so that you can have the best of both worlds.
Yes, and when we say it's invisible, I'm going to go into a little bit details about how we can talk. So, for instance, these type of invisible storage can be part of the wall, like what I was saying. So instead of a very standard closet, there are special hinges we can do to make the door kind of just disappear.
So, how do you do that? Or like, can you describe it in a bit more detail? Sorry.
Have you ever seen it? It's like a hidden door, but once you press it, it's a door.
Oh, like I've seen them with drawers, I think, where you like press the hinge and then it pops out and then you push it back in and it clips in, but there's no handles.
Right. So you can remove the hardware, or you can have very small hardware. So basically integrating this piece of a closet as part of the room, really. So it becomes the surrounding, but not necessarily it's a giant armoire sitting in the center of the room telling you, like, I hold a lot of stuff. So then often it's the hardware. So like I was saying, some hinges, there's this particular kind, it's called piano hinge. So it works as a piano. So how do I describe it? I wish I could show you a photo, but basically from the front, you cannot see the hinges. It's folded in, but when you open the door, the hinges are inside.
Ah, okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
Easy little secret door.
I'll try and find a photo and maybe we can link to it in the show notes so everyone can see it. I'll see if we can find something.
Okay. I can also send you them.
Yes. Maybe send us a photo and maybe we can, we'll put it somewhere, hopefully, that people can find it.
Yes.
Yes, great. Thank you. And any other secrets to having really great storage?
Any other secret? I think the storage has to make sense to you, like the order of how you use these things. Mm-hmm. So, organizer that people tend to hire a lot now, and they can help you label things, and categorize stuff. But then also, I think it will only make most sense to you if you provide your own, thinking behind it.
Yeah, so it's like I got my mom to help me to organize my home when I first moved in, and she put all the things where she puts them, but I can't find anything because it makes sense for her, but not for me.
Right, because we all tend to use, we have our own routine, how we use these things and what we use. Yeah, it's personal.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I think storage has to make sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we'll move on to the open mic section next. So that's where you get to talk about something that you're passionate about, and it doesn't have to be related to our topic today. Did you have something in mind?
Sure. We can talk about, talking here. Mm-hmm. I have always been a big introvert, and, I don't necessarily feel super comfortable sharing, my ideas about my design. And I remember that I used to say to my friends and my staff, like, the design should speak for itself. And that's why I designed it. I already put all my thoughts into it. So the fact that after I already said all I had to say in the design itself, I feel I'm left with nothing to say anymore. And I also felt as contrived. I already said so much and it's in front of everyone. How can you want me to say more? So I think this part was always a challenge to me to speak for my design. But then I think this is something I am learning and trying to work on over the years and from people's feedback. Because people would tell me, yes, the design is an expression of your thoughts, but it can be perceived in so many different ways. And it is up to you, the creator of it, to tell people what you really meant to tell. And I think that was, that really rang a bell. And I think this is something I owe it to my design and I owe it to my team. I need to practice to learn to be a spokesperson of our work more and to be more confident and more comfortable with it. Because, this is my duty after all. Yes. So I'm working on it and I'm very glad there's this opportunity today and allow me to practice and to share my thoughts and, jumbled or not. And I hope all were able to get something useful out of this.
Thank you so much for joining us. I think it's so lovely that you've been so honest about, your thoughts and feelings about joining us. I think that joining a podcast and being on a podcast is maybe a bit scarier than people maybe think it is. I know that when I first started on this podcast, I was nervous like every day I had a podcast recording. And even sometimes I feel quite nervous before I start a podcast sometimes, even though I've been doing this for a year now. And I think that particularly as you said, you're an introvert, it can be hard to express yourself in public, in such a public way. But that doesn't mean that what you have to say isn't less. It's just maybe that you want to show it in different ways, as you said. So thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your thoughts, because I think they're very important, and having the courage to come on and talk to us. So thank you.
No, thank you for having me and giving me the platform. And I really do appreciate that.
And if people do want to find out more about you and about your business, where can they find you?
And so our website is www.bespokeholy.com. We our handle on Instagram is bespokeholy, and we are also trying to share more on Instagram as well. Well, again, we're working on this. We do love to share. I think once you start to share, and it's really nice to know that, you know, people want to hear what we have to say and what is behind our work and the thoughts and the process and even the issues what we run into. So, you know, come check us out.
Thank you. I did have a look at your Instagram before, and I'm going to be saving a few of those because I'm moving soon. Unfortunately, you're in the US, so you can't come and help me, but I'm going to still use you as inspiration. I hope that's okay.
Of course. I love that.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Oh, and just for any of our listeners as well, if you want to find her Instagram and the website, they'll be in our show notes. So don't worry about trying to remember the name. But thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Gabriella.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.